I'll be all right.
No. Good evening. It's good to see everybody out in the Lord's house this evening. You have your Bibles, turn with me over to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 27, as we think about Jotham and mighty in the Lord. 2 Chronicles 27. And are we on back there? Making sure the mic, pocket mic, has not been doing right, so just checking things out. Read with me there, starting with verse 1. Jotham was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to that his father Uzziah had done, although he did not enter the temple of the Lord. But still the people acted corruptly. He built the upper gate of the house of the Lord, and he built extensively on the wall of Ophel. Moreover, he built cities in mountains of Judah, and in forest he built fortresses and towers. He also fought the king of the Ammonites and defeated them. And the people of Ammon gave him in that year 100 talents of silver, 10,000 cores of wheat, and 10,000 of barley. The people of Ammon paid him this to him in the second and third years also. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. The scripture says here that Jotham became mighty. Over in Acts, the 7th chapter, in the 22nd verse, it tells us there that Moses was mighty in words and deeds. And then you go on over to Acts 18 and verse 24, it tells us that Apollos was mighty in scripture. All of us should want to be mighty in the works of God. And this word mighty should characterize our very life as we strive to serve God day in and day out. And as we talked about this morning, that we are in a battle, we are at war every day of our life as a Christian. And if we are not mighty in the Lord, we are going to lose the battle. Mighty means strong, it means potent, it means forceful, it means vigorous. Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse, we are commanded to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We are to be strong in what we do. We're to be potent, like that packet of yeast you put in the dough, and that yeast just kind of permeates and moves its way throughout the dough, and it makes everything a lot better. Christians are to be potent in this world. We are to be making things different. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We are to be powerful. How many of us think we are powerful in the Lord? Well, We're supposed to be powerful. We're supposed to be vigorous, if you please, throwing off the world's influence and pulling down the strongholds of. We're to turn this world upside down for the Lord. That's exactly what the apostles did. They made a difference everywhere they went. They made a difference when they came into a city. They knew they were there. Jesus Christ should be seen in our lives, and that's not just here in this building, but everywhere we go. Jotham, it says, was mighty, and he in describing his might, it says here that he rebuilt and extended Jerusalem and the temple of the Lord. He defeated the Ammonites, and he received massive tributes from them for 3 years. He was an ancestor of Jesus Christ. He was listed there in Matthew, the 1st chapter, in verse 9. He was a mighty man in God. And Jotham became mighty in God and the Lord because of three things that took place in his life. First of all, Jotham had a good foundation. A good foundation. He must have had a good mother. Jotham's mother's name was Jerusha, and she was a descendant of Zadok the priest. And Zadok's line was a faithful line of priests who protected the true worship of God in the temple in the times when the Israelites as a nation backslid into idolatry. And Zadok was one of David's very best friends. If you follow him through and you go into the book of Ezekiel, you'll find there that he and David spent some time together, and Zadok was there to lift him up and to encourage him and to help him along. And our scripture says she was a daughter. And that word in the Hebrew just means descendant of, an ancestor of. And so Jotham's mother was a very good mother, evidently, for him, because not only was she physically his mother and made good for him, but she was a descendant of Zadok, and she had all that which lifted her up and give her strength. She was taught the way of God from her age right on up. And so she made sure her son learned the same. She carried that spiritual heritage of Zadok. Well, Jotham also had a good father. Joseph's father was King Uzziah, who we talked about last week. And back there in chapter 26, verses 4 and 5 tells us that Uzziah did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. Now, when you begin to check on Uzziah, you find that he defeated the Philistines and he went into battle, defeated a bunch of nations. He built war machines. He fortified Judah and Jerusalem. And as you read in Uzziah's life, and as we talked about him last week, he was not an idle man. He was constantly doing something, and he had good influence on his son. So Jotham had a good foundation to start to build on. You know, what kind of foundation do you have? What kind of foundation have you made for your family to build on? Well, you know, I know something about some of you folk here. And I know some of you didn't have godly parents, but that didn't hold you back. That didn't stop you. That did not hinder you. You became mighty in the Lord because you built your life on God's foundation. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 says, "For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." If you don't get filled with God's Word, you get filled with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, you will have a good foundation. Watchman Nee was a great missionary of years gone by, and he told of a new convert who came to him, and he was in great distress. And the convert said, "No matter how much I pray, no matter how hard I try, I simply cannot seem to be faithful unto my Lord. I think I'm losing my salvation." Does that describe you at times? I think that describes me at times. It just seems there are times when it just seems like I'm falling off the wagon, so to speak. Well, Watchman Nee said, "Do you see this dog here? He is my dog. He's house trained. He never makes a mess. He is obedient. He is a pure delight to me. Out in the kitchen, I have a son, a baby son. He makes a mess. He throws his food around. He fouls his clothes. He's a total mess. But who is going to inherit my kingdom? Not my dog. My son is my heir. You are Christ, Jesus Christ's heir, because it is for you he died. Paul was leaving the elders of Ephesus for the last time, and knowing that he would not see them again, he said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all who are sanctified. Because we belong to Jesus Christ, we are built on his life, on his ways. We are built on him. He is our foundation, and his grace is what will save us. Well, Jotham developed a character, a good character. Many people live their life out of control. You know people like that. It just seems like they have no control in life. A lady was filling out a police report, a car accident. And she said, I was backing down from a garage and I lost sight of my driveway, and I got out on the lawn and then across the lawn and through the hedge, knocked over the garbage can, and then knocked over my mailbox. And then, she said, I went down over the curb and hit my neighbor's car. Then, she said, I lost control. Well, what had she been doing before, you know? But how many people you know that just seem to live their life out of control? Just out of control. There is no guidance. There's nothing there that seems to be a boundary for them anywhere. Well, Jotham had his life under control of God. You see, Jotham was one of these wise people who learned from the mistakes of his father. When Uzziah had become successful king, as we talked about last week, he became very prideful. And Uzziah came up with this idea that he could be a priest as well as a king. And he took a censer and went into the temple to offer incense in the holy place. And a group of a bold priest rebuked him, and as they did, leprosy broke out on him. And since that would defile the temple, they rushed him out of there in a hurry. But the scripture also says he got out of there very quickly himself. And then what happened? But Uzziah had to vacate the throne, and his son ruled in his place. You see, Jotham saw the judgment of God that fell upon his father for doing wicked things. And when he took the throne at age 25, he was a very humble man. Now let me ask you, do you learn from the mistakes of others? Do you learn from what's happening to those around you? When I was growing up, I could learn from my brother real well. You know, when Bobby got in trouble, I knew I didn't want no part of that. And I could learn from that. You know, there's a lot of times I didn't learn. And I haven't learned even today. You know, some people cannot learn from the mistakes of others. They have to make those mistakes themselves, and then it seems like they don't learn. Well, Jotham learned from the mistakes of his father. And then Jotham wasn't tainted by the culture he lived in. You see, Jotham was living in very evil and wicked times. Nations around him were into gross idolatry. In verse 2 of our text tells us there that his own people acted corruptly. You know, it's not easy for anyone, and not even a king, to live above their surroundings. You know, sometimes it's mighty hard. You see things going on and you wonder, what on earth is going on? Why can't I have that? Why can't I do this? And it's hard to live above our surroundings. But Jotham was able to do that. Jotham was spiritually healthy, although he lived in a land that was filled with evil. Listen, folks, every one of you know, and most of you know much better than I do, that when you walk out your door on Monday morning, you're going into a land that is filled with filth. A land that is filled with evil. A land that is filled with wickedness. And you have to learn to deal with that. What are you doing with it? What kind of foundation do you have under you when you have to deal with the issues of this world? Many Christian young people don't know much about the culture that's out there, that sometimes because they've been raised in Christian homes and they've been sheltered from the evils and the ways of the world. And I tell you, I kind of got this firsthand when I left the farm and went into Cincinnati. Even though I was on a Bible college, let me tell you, I got an education that I really didn't need. And it wasn't hard, you know. Even though I was a Bible college student, you walk downtown Cincinnati and whoa, you know. That's the world we live in. You know, have you learned to depend upon Jesus Christ? Is He really the foundation under you? They were on a tour of a great furniture factory. And the guide said to the visitors, I want you to notice this incredible waving grain in this wood. It's the finest oak in the world. Do you know what causes it to this intricate pattern on this wood that makes it so valuable? He went on to say, well, it's cut from trees that are on the mountainsides, and most of them are exposed to conflicts of storms, and the storms toss the trees, and they develop the closest and finest wood grain, and they are the most prized by cabinet makers. And so it is with the human life. People who love God and have withstood the great adversities of life and remain faithful unto Jesus Christ develop the greatest and the most beautiful characters. And character isn't developed out in isolation. It's developed under testing and under conflict. But under the hand of God. Well, Jotham prepared his ways before God. Jotham cultivated God-fearing relationships. What kind of relationships do you have? You know, I know that some of you go out and work in the workplace, and the people you deal with are not the best people to deal with. And that's kind of the way life is. But what kind of relationships do you have? You know, there are many unfavorable circumstances out there. There were many unfavorable circumstances with Jotham. But he develops some good, you know, relationships. There were some great prophets that lived in Judah in his day. Isaiah, Hosea, Micah. They were all there, and they must have all been well known by Jotham. In chapter 26, in verse 22, we read that Isaiah wrote a biography of Uzziah. You know, so Jotham must have known Isaiah very well. And maybe, you know, the thought occurred to me in this that maybe there were times that while he was king, that when he became king and Isaiah was around, maybe he got Isaiah off to the side sometime and he said, Isaiah, you know, this is happening. This is taking place. All of this is happening. What do I do? You know, we need desperately to cultivate Christian friendships. And as I look around here tonight, I think all of us have done that. What is there that keeps you going? What is it that lifts you up when the world would just knock you down? What is it that builds you up when the world would try to tear you down? Christian friendships. Well, Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord. The prophet Hosea compared our hearts to ground that a farmer has plowed and then sown. And the ground that he was talking about is hard and very unproductive. You know, I remember Dad at times, and he'd say, we've got to find a new field to put the tobacco in or to whatever. And he would go out and he'd go over the farm and he would decide that he wanted it in such and such place. And then he would take and, you know, and plow that field. And sometimes it was all the tractor could do to drag the plow through that ground because it had never been plowed before. There was one field that he thought he had to put tobacco in every year. And that field grew more rocks than it grew tobacco. And every year he'd plow that up, and we'd get in there, and he would drag it, and I was the one who had to follow the drag and throw the rocks on the drag and pull them out. And, you know, but you know, that's kind of the way life is, isn't it? Well, Hosea says there in Hosea, the 10th chapter and the 12th verse, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness on you. Preparing our hearts before God means that we let the Word of God come into our lives. We let the Holy Spirit break our hearts and then put us all back together again the way God wants us to be. And those with tender hearts, those who are wanting to serve God, who are wanting to be what God intends for us to be, will repent of their sins, will return and obey Jesus Christ, and prepare themselves before God. Another meaning of this word prepare in the text or in the scripture is to fix. This same word that is translated prepared here in four other places and talking and David talking about this very same word, it's translated fixed. And you know, David had fixed his life. David had fixed his view. David had fixed what he was doing on God. David prepared himself. Oh, yes, he failed. There were many times that he failed. We look back at the life of David, and we see a man who had a lot of problems, a lot of difficulties, but he had his sight fixed on God. And because of that, it brought him back every time. You know, over in 2 Chronicles 12, and verse 14, it says of Rehoboam, who was son of Solomon, it says he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. You know, there are very few people who just set out to do evil. You know, I don't know anybody that really just, man, I'm going out here to do evil today. They wake up to do that. But you know, the devil has a way of getting in front of every one of us, and he trips us up, and we fall into a sin because, for many of us, that's that we have not prepared our way before God. In the beginning of his reign, Rehoboam had a heart that was very sensitive to God. You read back there in 2 Chronicles 11, it tells you that he listened to God. He was out there going to fight against Israel and Judah. And God sent a man out there and said, hey, don't fight against your brothers. And he listened. He took his army and went home. But then you keep reading. And you go on down in that 11th chapter, and verse 17 goes on to tell us, so they strengthened the kingdom of Israel and made Rehoboam the son of Solomon strong for 3 years because they walked in the way of David and Solomon for 3 years. Rehoboam sought the Lord 3 years out of a 17-year reign. And then you read 2 Chronicles 12 and verse 1. He forsook the law of the Lord. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar to all? Most of us, you know, start off loving God. We're excited about God. And many, many, you know, do well. But I've heard many of you sitting here tonight say, well, so-and-so used to go to church. Do they go to church anywhere now? No, they don't go to church anywhere. Well, what happened? What happened to them? You know, somewhere along the way, they didn't prepare. They didn't fix their life on serving God. Psalm 57 and verse 7, David says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. If David had not fixed his heart, even in the times of his sin, what would have happened to him? You see, every one of us need to look at our own life and realize that if we're going to be all that God wants us to be, we've got to prepare our hearts to serve God. And that means that we're completely sold out to Jesus Christ. We develop a reading program of the scriptures, and we pray, and we have church connections. And we just throw ourselves, if you please, into the work of God. It's like one person said, if I don't work for the Lord, I'll end up working for the devil. Several years ago, engineers were building a new bridge over the East River in New York. And they discovered a wrecked hull of a ship that had been sunken there many years before. And it was right in the way of where they were building this new bridge. Not only was it right in the way, but it was right where the main pier of the bridge was going to set. Well, they bought in powerful machinery to move this ship out of the way. And they tugged and they pulled, they did all kinds of things, but the boat did not move. And then one of the engineers had this thought, and he passed it along, and he said, why not let's let the waters take care of this? And while the tide is low, we'll take a barge and we'll put it right above this boat, and we'll put cables all around the barge and around this ship that is sunken. And then as the tide comes in, it will lift the boat, and then we can do something. Well, that's what they did. And as the tide came in, the barge gradually lifted, and that sunken ship came up out of the mud and the murk and all that had been filtered up on it over the years. And then when they were completely free, they moved the hull of that ship out into the ocean and let it sink once again. You know, our lives, many of our lives are in just deep muck and mire and filth of this world. And many times, all that is done, all that is tried to make us any better than what we are, just doesn't work. But it's only by the cables of God's love that we're pulled up and we're pulled free and we're brought to some place that is useful. That's when we prepare our lives so that we might be mighty in the Lord. Tonight, are you mighty in the Lord? You know, Paul just tells us if we will just give ourselves to God, that God will make you strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You see, it's not me. It's not you. But it's Jesus Christ. Have you given it all to Him? What have you done to prepare your life for Him? Do you need to do more as we stand and as we sing?